بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الخلق الله أجمعين، سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to our second gathering discussing the book العلم الهيب في شرح الكلم الطيب. Of course the explanation is by Imam Badruddin العيني. And the actual book is by Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahum Allah ta'ala jami'an. And last time we stopped at the statement of the Imam walhamdulillah, and he continues walhamdulillahi wasalamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa, which means praise be to Allah. We talked about alhamd, and peace be upon the servants of God who he has chosen. The servants of Allah here could be the prophets, could be their communities, or could be all of them, inshallah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, ثُمَّ أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا, that indeed we have inherited the book amongst our servants, here meaning the followers of the prophets and the prophets. الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَى, اصْطَفَى are those who were chosen and purified and cleaned, mashallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought them into khair. Now from there, Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, he mentions a number of verses of the Qur'an that we want to look at with some detail, because they will help explain the practices and applications related to supplicating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the mistakes I see people make is that they tend to go everywhere first but the Qur'an. I remember when I was in high school in Al-Azhar in Egypt, subhanAllah, and we were taking inheritance law. And quite frankly, our teacher, he was okay. But he kept kind of going through these really kind of in-depth theories about inheritance and this and this. And finally, you know, we just said to him, can you just explain the verses in Surah Nisa? يُسِيكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي أَوْلَادِكُمْ the ذَكَرِ مِثْلُ حَظِّ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ, that talk about inheritance. And he was like, why? We're like, because it's easier. So subhanAllah, he actually refused. So what we did is a group of students came together and we just studied the tafsir of ayat al-ahkam of those verses and then asked other teachers and we aced the exam. It was all in the Qur'an, subhanAllah. So this is not just a mistake that people make. This is unfortunately a mistake, right? Even some educators make. And oftentimes I find when people ask about dua, supplication, this and this, you know, if they were to reflect on the verses of the Qur'an, clearly, Hameem والكتاب المبين, the Qur'an is a clear book. So Imam Ibn Taymiyyah opens up the text with the Qur'an. And also to show the greatest dhikr is the Qur'an, Allahu Akbar. So we're going to go through some of these verses, insha'Allah ta'ala, explain them and show their applications, and then we'll begin to start to look at the text, insha'Allah. قال الله تعالى, he says, Allah the Transcendent says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, and even though أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم is not in the book, it is agreed upon by the Qurra, the scholars of Qur'an, that we must recite أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم outside of prayer. وَإِذَا أَرَدْتَ تَقْرَأُ فَاسْتَعِذْ, Imam Shatibi says in Hirzul Amani, whenever you want to read the Qur'an at any time, at any place, you must say أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ مُسْجَلَ. So you must say it. مُسْجَلَ يعني be sought out loud. So أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. And of course, you don't have to keep saying it. If you say it once, inshallah, it's sufficient. The first verse he mentions is from Surah Al-Ahzab, the 33rd chapter of the Qur'an, verse number 70, and I believe 71. He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدَ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا, which means, O believers, be dutiful to Allah and speak sadida. Sadida has a number of meanings. Imam Az-Zamakhshari, rahimahullah ta'ala, he explains them very beautifully, and he says, "Qasidan ila al-haq." You know, when you speak in a way that seeks the truth. And of course, we have to understand the context of Surah Al-Ahzab, the fitna that came into the community by people who tried to start trouble around Zainab and Zayd. So the context of the verse is, when you talk about people, speak the haqq, seek the truth. And he says, "Was-sadad," Imam al-Zamakhshari in Kashaf, he says, "Al-qasdu ila al-haqq," is to seek, you know, the truth. "Wal-qawlu bil-adal," and to speak with justice. "Wal-maradu," here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prohibiting them, "amma khadu fihi min hadith Zainab wa Zayd." That, you know, those people who went into negative and evil assumptions related to the marriage of Sayyidina Muhammad to Zainab and the divorce of Zayd of Zainab. وَسَدَادُ الْقَوْلِ رَأْسُ الْخَيْرِ كُلِّ Shaykh, he says, and, you know, speaking truth and speaking what's right is the foundation of all good. وَالْمَعْنَى أُرَاقِبُ اللَّهِ He said the meaning of the verse here, اِتَّقُوا اللَّهِ رَاقِبُ اللَّهَ فِي حِفْثِ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ Be mindful of Allah in your speech. Be careful and be aware that Allah sees you. He's a sami'. We talked about this in our chapters on Aqidah under Sifat al-Ma'ani, right? Sami' sam' wal-basar wal-kalam. Here's the application. رَاقِبُ اللَّهَ فِي حِفْثِ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَتَسْدِيدِ قَوْلِكُمْ So be mindful of God and how you speak, and make sure that when you speak the truth. فَإِنَّكُمْ إِذَا فَعَلْتُمْ ذَلِكَ And if you were to do that, أَعْطَاكُمْ مَا هُوَ غَايَةُ الطَّلَبَةِ If you were to do that, you would get the greatest, most longed for thing, of course, which is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept your hasanat, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you, that inshallah ta'ala you'll be from the people of Jannah. There is, and this is why Imam Ibn Taymiyyah put this verse here, there's also an interpretation that qawlan sadida, that to speak a good word, taqulu qawlan sadida, is la ilaha illallah. And that's a strong opinion, by the way. And of course, it could be both, right? It could possibly entertain all those meanings. We're very careful because we have an axiom that says, You should memorize this if you're a serious student. Al-ibratu bi'umumi lafzi la bi'khusus as-sabab. That regards to the verse is given to the generality of its meanings, not the specific reasons for it was sent. So here it could also be قَوْلًا sadida is la ilaha illallah. So Imam Ibn Taymiyyah put this here to show the importance of the remembrance of Allah. And also there's something there about adab that we'll talk about in a second. The next verse, mashallah ta'ala, after that verse, is Allahu subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Fatir, verse number 10, he says subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِلَيْهِ يَصْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ That to Allah goes الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ Good words. وَالْعَمَرُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُ And that good deeds, right? That good deeds raise those words. Now, if you pay attention and you think about it, إِلَيْهِ يَصْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ Most ulama said, al-kalim al-tayyib is la ilaha illallah, or the dhikr of Allah, or any good words, or dua. So those things that we say, like subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, when you say that, if you're coming out of some very difficult situation, if you feel like you're a sinner, Allahu, Allahu Rabbi, you know, anything like this, ilayhi yas'adu al-kalim al-tayyib. MashaAllah, those words will be lifted and raised in the heavens. Of course, to Allah as a metaphor, meaning Allah will reward, Allah will accept, inshaAllah. However, there is a condition. وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُ But it's the good deeds that actually raise those words to be accepted. So we see something here that the etiquette of dua and the etiquette of remembrance are found in these first two verses. Allah says, اتقوا الله, right? Fear Allah. وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. And taqwa here means the intention, as well as the commitment to good deeds. So it's not just I'm saying something, or I'm making dhikr, and I'm not sincere in that, or following that up with good. So the etiquette of dhikr and fikr is al-amal wal-ikhlas. Sincerity, remembrance, coupled with good. They say, al-amal salih dhaylu dhikrillah. Right, good deeds is like the tail that follows the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثُمَّ يَرْفَعُهُ. And then it lifts those good deeds. There's a few different qira'at actually of this verse, you know. وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يُرْفِعُ وَيُرْفَعُ وَالْعَمَلَ الصَّالِحَ. So there's an interpretation that says, إِلَيْهِ يَسْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ وَالْعَمَلَ الصَّالِحَ. Meaning that the rafi', the lift, what causes the barakah to happen, is the dhikr, and the marfu' is the amal. But the strong opinion is that the rafi' is the amal and the ikhlas, and the marfu' what's caused to be raised and accepted ultimately by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the good deeds. And that's why there's some narrations that actually mention that when someone remembers Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts that remembrance on hold and make sure that that person, right, follows up that remembrance with good deeds, and then he accepts it, subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the narrations, he says that the person didn't follow up with good deeds, so that dhikr is rejected. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bil barakah wal khair. But what we understand from these first two verses is ittaqullaha is sincerity, a commitment to do good, and then qawlan sadida, ilayhi yas'adul kalimu tayyibu, good words are raised to Allah by the malaika, وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُ. And then the remembrance of that by good deeds, and the completion of that by being dedicated and being a person of fidelity to the dhikr, right, is what brings their acceptance by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 152, فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرُكُمْ. Remember me, I will remember you. So the first two verses deal with adab, the etiquettes of dua, right? That I should be sincere, that I should follow up the dhikr, that I should be sincere, that I should follow up the dua and dhikr with good deeds and a commitment to do good. The second verse, or the third verse, excuse me, Surah Al-Baqarah here, verse 152, begins to talk about the virtues of dhikr. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرُكُمْ. Remember me, I will remember you. The obvious, of course, is فَاذْكُرُونِي بِذِكْرِي, like remembering me by saying my name and remembering me. أَذْكُرُكُمْ, I will remember you. We know the famous hadith that someone will remember me privately, I will remember them in public, subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning in front of the malaika. Other ulama said, فَاذْكُرُوهُ بِطَاعَتِي, like remember Allah by obeying him. And يَذْكُرُكُمْ بِالْمَغْفِرَةِ, he will remember you by forgiving you. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. And then the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again in Surah Al-Ahzab. It's interesting, think about Surah Al-Ahzab, all the social challenges that are happening in this chapter. But this is also the chapter where the remembrance of Allah is really intensified. And the encouragement to remember Allah, as if to say, one of the ways to escape some of these nasty, ratchet social things is to remember God, whether it's related to battle, whether it's related to family, whether it's related to community, udhkurullah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the 33rd chapter, verse 41, he says, udhkurullah, remember Allah, and that's a command. Udhkur is a form. We say, al-amru yufidu wujub, which means it is an obligation. But it doesn't stop there. It says, اُذْكُرُ اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا, like remember Allah abundantly. That's why Ibn Abbas, he said, every act of worship is مُؤَقَّت وَمُقَيَّد, is restricted to time and place and condition except the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the next few verses that Imam Ibn Taymiyyah quotes, these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to explain to us what it means, Udhkurullaha dhikran kathira. Like, what does that mean? So Allah says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, again in Surah Al-Ahzab, وَذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ. Those who remember Allah, male and females, abundantly. Of course, the verse ends, Allah has promised him Jannah. وَذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ. So they are engaged in abundant dhikr. So some of the ulama, you know, we ask, like, what does that mean? And they said, for example, someone who يَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا وَأَذَّكِرِينَ اللَّهَ وَالذَّكِرَاتِ are those people who after salah, they make the adhkar. Allah is so kareem, subhanAllah. So they say 33, 33, 33, and then they finish وَلَا إِلَهِ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَا لَهُ مُلْكُ وَلَا الْحَمْدُ يُحِي وَيُمِيتُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. So this is 100. And they complete, subhanAllah, that they become from أَذَّكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّكِرَاتِ. The next verse found in Surah Ali Imran, verse 191, again addresses a common question people ask. Can I make dhikr in this situation? Can I make dhikr in this situation? Can I make dhikr if I'm menstruating? Can I make dhikr if I'm junub? So on and so forth. If I'm at work. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who remember Allah standing, yani, could mean prayer or could mean, you know, they're walking around remembering Allah, and when they sit and when they lie down, meaning ala kulli hal, wa fi kulli hal, wa fi kull ahwal, in every situation they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Imam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned some verses that show those different situations. So one is when we're going through hardship and difficulties. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the 8th chapter of the Quran, verse 45, he says, إِذَا لَقِيْتُمْ فِئَةً فَثْبُتُوا وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. When you meet your enemy on the battlefield, stay strong and remember Allah. I mean, is there any more of an intense situation that doesn't compare to our job, dealing with kids, dealing with marriages, dealing with situations around us? Allah says, أُثْبُتُوا, stay down, وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا, and remember Allah abundantly, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, you will be successful. So that's what we call shidda, وَالضَّرَّى, in hardship and difficulties, remember Allah. Then he says, the next verse, quoting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 200, فَإِذَا قُضَيْتُم مَنَاسِكَكُمْ, when you've completed the rites of Hajj, right? I've been on Hajj twice, alhamdulillah, and I can say that when we complete Hajj, there's just such a sense of euphoria, man. Such a sense of happiness and hope that Allah will accept it. And you feel like, subhanAllah, like it's a party, man. But a pure, beautiful party. فَإِذَا قُضَيْتُم مَنَاسِكَكُمْ فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ. After you've completed this worship, after you've completed the rites of Hajj, remember Allah كَذِكْرِكُمْ أَبَاءَكُمْ أَوْ أَشَدَّ ذِكْرًا. Like, and this is of course talking to one of the things that the Arabs used to do, they would remember, you know, their tribes and their lineages after Hajj, and they would use this as a moment of fakhar, you know, to praise and to show, you know, the pride in their tribes. But here, instead of that, the Hajj, as taught to us by Sayyidina Muhammad as an extension of the divine teachings of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi as-salam, instead of remembering our families and our lineages, we remember Allah at a point of happiness and success. The third is when we're out busy in the dunya, man, al-mu'ashara. So the first is in hardship, uthbutu wadhkurullah. The second, when we're worshiping Allah, we experience happiness, فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُمْ مَنَاسِكَكُمْ. And now the third is when we're out in our lives, working and grinding, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا تُلْهِيكُمْ تِجَارَةُ وَلَا بَيْعٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةُ وَلَا بَيْعٌ أَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Those men, it could be anybody of course, who do not allow their business and their sales to take them away from the remembrance of Allah. So even in those situations, right, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know that there are beautiful hadith, and we'll talk about those perhaps in the future, that mention the virtues of remembering Allah in the market and mentioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the way to the markets. لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةُ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. They don't allow business and commerce to keep them away from the remembrance of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Munafiqun, لَا تُلْهِيكُمْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Don't allow your properties. And that's why it's called amwal. The word amwal in Arabic is from mail, لِنَّ يُمِيلُ عَنْكَ, because it's going to leave you. Mil means to go like this, umilu. So no matter how much wealth we have, no matter how much property we have amassed, it's going to leave us. That's why it's called mal, subhanallah. So it says, لَا تُلْهِيكُمْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ. Don't let success through your wealth and your offspring take you away from the remembrance of Allah. Most ulama said here the remembrance of Allah is as-salah, but generally any type of remembrance. But the point is moments of professional and personal success. So again, let's go back. Hardship, happiness through worship, commerce, personal success through family and wealth should not take us away from Allah's remembrance. And then something else about all those tend to happen in public, right? Those are public acts or within our families. So the last verse that he mentions, mashallah, which is found in Surah Al-A'raf, verse 205, he says, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ. Remember Allah fi nafsik, yani when you're alone. So we went from like public moments of worship and expression and engaging public sphere, hardship, worship, professional success, personal success, now when you're by yourself. وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ. Remember your Lord when you're alone. تَدَرُّعًا, in a state of humility. وَخِيفَ, in a state of awe. وَدُونَ الْجَهْرِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ. You don't have to be loud. Don't be too loud. بِالْغُدُوِّ وَالْأَصَالِ, in the morning and in the evenings. وَلَا تَكُمْ مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. And don't be from those who are negligent. Some ulama said that the idea of بِالْغُدُوِّ وَالْأَصَالِ, this is what it means, وَذَكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَذَكِرَاتٍ. Those who remember Allah abundantly are those who engage in those adhkar, those dhikrs that we're going to learn, inshallah, in this course together, in the morning, in the evening. Let's quickly go back, because we covered a lot, mashallah, through these verses. The first part talks about the ingredients of dua, that is taqwa, right? Sincerity, a commitment to live in dhikr, to live and be sincere in what I'm saying and what I'm praying for. Right? وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا, أي say la ilaha illallah. The next, إِلَيْهِ يَصْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ, right? Dhikr is raised, right? It's lifted. وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُ. By following up that dhikr and dua with al-amalu al-salih will bring it to it being accepted, inshallah, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَاذْكُرُونِ أَذْكُرُكُمْ, of course. And it's interesting, like this is really the only fadl he mentions, as if to say like, that in itself is sufficient as a virtue. Just like knowing that Allah remembers you, khalas, what else do you need? فَاذْكُرُونِ أَذْكُرُكُمْ, remember me, I will remember you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اُذْكُرُ اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا, like remember Allah, remember Him abundantly. And then he explains through other verses, Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, he alludes to what that means. So Surah Ali Imran, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ, those who remember Allah standing, sitting, and lying down, meaning in all situations. I remember, subhanAllah, one of my teachers from Morocco, he had a sheikh. This sheikh was quadriplegic in his old age, and he used to say, Alhamdulillah, 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 Alhamdulillah. And people, they said to him, man, why are you always saying Alhamdulillah? You can't walk, you can't do anything anymore. He said, Alhamdulillah, I can say Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar, MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah, I can say Alhamdulillah. And then, of course, in the difficulties, إِذَا لَقِيتُمْ فِئَةً, when you meet an army, a squadron, فَاثْبُتُوا, stay strong, وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا, remember Allah abundantly. And then in good times, فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُمْ مَنَاسِكَكُمْ فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ, when you have completed the rites of Hajj, like remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you remember your fathers, right? And we talked about what that means. And then of course, professional success. And agency should not be used as an excuse to take us away from Allah's remembrance. لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله. Right? Business and commerce don't take them from Allah. And then personal success through the accumulation of wealth and the blessing of offspring. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا تلهيكم أموالكم ولا أولادكم عن ذكر الله. Don't allow your children and your wealth to take you away from Allah's remembrance. And then finally, the private moments of devotion and the etiquettes therein. وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ. Remember your Lord alone. And that's considered actually mustahab generally because it's farther away from riya. It's farther away from showing off. تَدَرُّعًا وَخِفْيَةً. Out of sincere devotion and humility. وَدُونَ الْجَهْرِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ. And don't be too loud. بِالْغُدُوِّ وَالْأَصَارِ وَلَا تَكُمْ مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. In the morning and the evening. And don't be negligent. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us, inshaAllah. Next time we'll mention a few ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the virtues of dhikr and dua. And then we will start, inshaAllah, to go over some of those important adi'iyah and adhkar taught to us by Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.